Good afternoon, Mr. Buffett and Mr. Munger. My name is Van Argyrakis. I'm from Omaha. Many U.S. multinational corporations depend on the importation of foreign workers. What is your opinion on the current state of U.S. immigration law as it applies to the employment of highly skilled permanent workers?
Charlie, you want to comment on that?
Well, of course, that's a subject on which reasonable minds disagree. My personal view is that I'm almost always glad to have very talented people come into the United States, and I'm almost never pleased when the very bottom of the mental barrel comes in.
We may differ just a bit on that one. This country has certainly benefited enormously over the decades, you know, by my immigration. We started out with 4 million people in 1790. China had 290 million at that time, just about what we have now. Europe had well over 75 million. So you had 70 times as many people in China. You had probably 20 times as many people in Europe. We had the same degree of intelligence in China or in Europe as we had here. We had similar natural resources, and now this country has well over 30% of the GDP of the world. So it's a pretty remarkable story. And how to attribute or how to quantify the various components that entered into that is very, very difficult. But we've certainly been a country characterized by lots of immigration, and whether that is responsible in any way for the incredible record of this country, I don't know, but I suspect that it was. And I think what Charlie would like to do is perhaps be the admitting officer, it would work pretty well if Charlie was. But in the absence of that, I think I don't think net this country has been hurt by immigration over time. Number seven.
Good afternoon, Mr. Buffett and Mr. Munger. I would like to thank you for being here. My question pertains to price discovery and liquidity. It is a common perception that unless there is adequate liquidity, price discovery is hurt. Now, if liquidity helps price discovery, then does it make sense to split the stock of a company which has a low liquidity problem? As a corollary, why do you consider stock splits and bonus issues to be bad for shareholders in the long run? Thank you.
Stock splits and what else, Charlie?
Bonus issues.
Well, and what's the relation? I don't get it.
He didn't indicate a relation.
No.
He just asked you to describe what's wrong with both.
It's two questions then. Yeah. Well, we have explained how we think about stock splits. There's no religious view against them. We don't think companies that do them are evil or anything of the sort. We do think we've got the best group of shareholders in the world, and I think that a meeting like this, to some extent, is evidence of it. We've got people that are more in sync, I think, with the policies of the company. We certainly have people who are more long-term in their view of Berkshire, or their intentions regarding Berkshire. I think we have people that understand their investment in Berkshire better than any other large American corporation. We've got the lowest turnover of any large American corporation. Now, why is that? Well, people can buy stock in any company they want to. I mean, you could have bought stock in Berkshire or something else. But there's this self-selection process of who comes in, and there's a self-selection process of the people that just say, you know, that company doesn't interest me. And I would say that people who say they aren't interested in a stock that sells in the thousands of dollars a share simply because it sells in the thousands of dollars a share would not as a group be as intelligent and informed and long-term in their outlook and as in sync with the policies of management as this group. It's not a killer of a thing, obviously, but it's a sign, it's a symptom of people with a somewhat different attitude toward the stocks they own. Now, somebody is going to, if we have 1.5 million Class A equivalent shares. We have a little more net outstanding. Somebody's going to own them all. So it's just a question of who is attracted and who is repelled from your shares. And I think not splitting and some other things we do at Berkshire, a number of other things we do at Berkshire, has attracted a group of shareholders that really come the closest to an investment-oriented group as is almost possible in a widely traded, widely available company. We like the group we've got. We're not looking for the people who think it would be a more attractive stock if instead of selling it $90,000 a share, it sold at $9 a share. Nothing wrong with those people, but they are, if we were choosing partners, we would choose the group we have over the people who think a $9 stock is a wonderful thing. Charlie?
Yeah, and on the second part of that question, I think the notion which is taught in so much of modern academia that liquidity is this of tradable common stock is a great contributor to capitalism. I think that is mostly twaddle. The GNP of the United States grew at very good rates long before we had highly liquid markets for common stock. I don't know where people got that silly notion. I think the liquidity gives us these crazy booms, which have many problems as well as virtues. And in England, if you'll remember, after the South Sea bubble, England banned tradable common stocks for decades. It was absolutely illegal to have a company so widely held, you got a liquid market in the shares, and England did fine during that period when you didn't have a stock. So if you think that liquidity is a great contributor to civilization, why, then you probably believe that all the real estate in America, which is relatively illiquid, hasn't been developed properly.
The Keynes actually commented on the perversions brought about by liquidity. But, of course, the truth is that Berkshire trades, on average, $50 million or so of stock a day. So there's very few people that are going to have any problem with Berkshire, the liquidity in the stock.
But we're trying to create more of them, more people who have this big liquidity problem because they own so much stock.
Let's go on to number 8, please.